Good morning. It is good to see you all here. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. I sent Laura the scripture yesterday. I put verses 1 through 5. I should have just put Psalm 100 because I was just having an off day yesterday. And when you get to Psalm 100, if you can, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word, please. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and His faithfulness to all generations. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank You for the reading of Your Word. And God, today, let us come before You with thanksgiving in our hearts. Let us enter Your courts with praise, not just on Sunday, and not just one time on Sunday, but every day of the week, every moment, Father, let praise come forth from our hearts, dear God, not from our brains, not from anywhere else, but let it come from deep within our hearts because we're so thankful, Lord, for what You've done for us. And Father, as I preach this message, speak to us from Your Holy Spirit and let only Your words come forth today, dear God. And we give You the praise and honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. I've said this in the past, and I'll probably say it a whole lot of times in the pulpit. But if you look at our churches today, churches are literally declining, really, in pretty vast numbers. As we were driving yesterday and we passed a church, I told Janine, I said, it's a sad thing that that little church there closed its doors a while back. And nobody gathers there to worship. And as we went up the highway just a little ways more, I saw the church sign for where I used to pastor quite a few years ago, and their doors have closed because the people have decided that it was no longer worthy for them to get together and have church and serve and praise God. And I want to stress something this morning. When we get to a place in our Christian life where we think it's not worth praising God or serving Him anymore, then we will start to give in to the ways of the enemy, because that's what the devil wants. The devil wants the churches to stop worshiping. He's doing everything he can to keep churches from growing and to keep them from functioning in the way that God wants them to. Now, I saw a video the other day, and I'm not going to harp on this situation, or the subject matter is not what I'm harping on, but this is what's happening in our churches today. A church in Florida, down in Orlando, a young minister got up, and he had pride colors on his gown that the ministers wear. He had makeup on his face, and he stood up in front of the congregation and basically told them that he was now changing himself to a lady, and this is the way church was going to be. And he thanked the people of the church for backing him up. And I saw this video, and I quickly realized how the enemy is getting into the hearts and lives of people, and they're starting to believe other things instead of what God's Word says. how we should worship and how we should gather. But we're seeing things happening in our churches. Men's ways are being sought after, and if it pleases the ears, that's what's taking place in our churches today. And in this message today, I want to preach on praising God and letting that praise be consistent, letting it be a constant thing. Because a church that prays together stays together. A church that worships together will worship together, and there will be much great joy and fellowship. Now here, I want to back up and say something too. The churches that are starting to operate how the enemy wants them to, we shouldn't point a finger and judge or condemn what's going on. But here's what we should do. We should lift them up and pray for them that the Holy Spirit of God gets a hold of their heart and shakes the worldliness out of them, and that the truth of His love and His word starts to operate, because we have gotten away from our Heavenly Father in a lot of ways. And it's time that we refocus ourselves and get our eyes back on the Lord. And it's time that we start serving the way that He's called us, or the way that He called us to serve Him. We've got Sunday school rooms that need to be filled. How are we going to get them filled? We have got to start seeking God with our hearts and lives. And we've got to start asking our Heavenly Father, who do we go talk to, Lord? Put them in our path. And Father, how do you want us to do it? We've gotten so far off the beaten path of God's will in our churches today that now people don't get out and witness like they used to. There's no church visitation. But if we will start praying before our Holy Father, God will hear our prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says that if we will turn from our wicked ways, if we will confess of our sins, turn from our wicked ways, if we will pray and seek God, then the Bible says that God will hear our prayers and He will forgive our sins and He will heal our land. And we are definitely in a time where our country needs healing. We need people, and what we need in our church is we need people who will worship and serve God. When we come to church, we are to praise the Lord, and we are to praise God with a joyful noise. Verse 1 of Psalm 100 says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord." It says all the earth. It doesn't call out just a few people. It says all of the earth, all of God's people, shout joyfully to the Lord. I had somebody ask me one time, "Well, when you get in the pulpit, why do you shout? Why do you get so excited? Because we can hear you just fine." And they said, "God's certainly not deaf." And if you go right back to Psalm 100, it says, "Shout joyfully." You know, when I went to seminary and took those classes, it basically what seminary was write an outline, have an introduction, three main points, have a conclusion to wrap it all up, bring it together and drive it home. And I thought, man, that sounds like a sales pitch to me. So when I get ready to preach the word, Father, you move with inside of me. As I drive to church or whatever I'm doing, Father, I praise you today. Thank you, God, for giving me life. Thank you that I'm going to go worship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. When I get out of the truck, whoever I see in the parking lot, I want to smile at them. I want to greet them with joy. And I want to greet them sometimes with a hug or a kiss on the cheek, whatever it may be. But I want to know, and I want them to know, that I'm glad to see them. I want them to know that they are welcomed, that they are loved, that they're going to enjoy the service today. And when we come into God's house, we should hit that door. We should leave everything outside of the church house that isn't of the Lord, things that are negative, things that have plagued us. We ought to leave them things outside of God's house. And when we come in here, we should be expecting from the Lord. We should be filled with joy. We should be filled with true happiness that only God can give. Our hearts should be lightened. When we walk in here, we should say, Father, thank you that I'm here today. As we sang the two hymns this morning, I'll Fly Away, and When We All Get to Heaven, man, I heard people singing, and I'm telling you what, my heart was filled with joy at hearing everybody's voices. Seeing everybody back today has just been it's been a wonderful thing to see you all here. I know others have been gone, but I'm not going to chase a rabbit around the tree now. I'm going to get back on my path here. But also praising the Lord, we do it with a joyful noise. We should sing. And you don't have to be in church to sing. I drive down the road and I'll start singing praise songs. Now, here's how I used to do it. I drive down the road, and if somebody was getting up alongside of me, I'd stop. Because I was thinking, well, I don't want them to think I'm nutty, that I'm talking to myself. And then after a while, I thought, well, who cares what they think? They're probably going to think he's nutty anyway if I'm in there singing. So I just start singing to the Lord, or if I'm praying, I just let her go. Because I am thankful for the life that God's given me. And people also ask, well, why are you so joyful? Because Jesus died on a cross, shed his blood for my sins. He rose from the dead, and I'm going to heaven. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I have an opportunity daily to be a witness. But I get to serve God. I get, because of the shed blood of Jesus, I get to approach his throne. Now, used to my life, when I was starting out as a Christian, I was a pretty negative person. I really was. And so many times I would get up and I'd feel bad or didn't feel good or tired. Oh, I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to go to church. I don't. Lord, why do I have to do this today? And that's how life was for such a while. But when I started to find out that replacing those things with praise and prayer and thanksgiving, that I started to realize that the Lord was lifting things off of my heart and my life. He was stripping away those old filthy layers that had been there from my past. And he was showing me a new life. He was giving me a brand new outlook. And when I got to church, then I started going, thank you, Lord, that I could be at church today. Thank you, God, that I could get out of bed and serve you. Thank you, Lord, that I may witness today and make a difference in somebody else's life. I used to go from telling people my problems to telling them how great my Savior is and what a change in life he can certainly make. When we come to church, when we live life, we ought to do it with a glad heart. A glad heart. Not a half-filled heart or a heavy heart. With a glad heart. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. My mother used to walk around the house before I got saved. Now, my mother couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. I can't either. That's where I get it from. But my mom would sing a lot of gospel hymns. And I used to go, I wish she'd quit singing. That sounds horrible. I did. But my mother was a woman who sang a lot and was very joyful. And upon her deathbed, when she was under hospice care, For the last 3 weeks of her life, my mother laid in bed with Lewy body dementia, Parkinson's disease, and Alzheimer's, and yet laid in that bed, not able to move, not able to hardly do anything or control some of her functions, but would lay in bed and start singing, "When We All Get to Heaven." What a day of rejoicing that will be. And she would sing Amazing Grace, and she would sing In the Garden, and she, and as I sat there listening to my mother sing, I reflected back on my youthful days, and I started to see that why she was so happy, it was all about Jesus, and she had a glad heart. She was very thankful to be alive, and even though she was in that bed, she was very thankful for what the Lord had done for her, and she knew that the moment she took that last breath, she was going to be transported into Jesus' presence by His angels. So my mother served God with a glad heart, and she used to share with people all the time about what God did for her. We ought to praise the Lord because of who He is. He is our God. That's who He is. He's our Heavenly Father. And if He gives us the opportunity to come before Him, then we shouldn't let that precious time go to waste. Jesus spent much time praying to the Father and seeking His Father's will. Someone asked me the other day, or someone said, "I sure would like to know what God's will for my life is." Well, let me tell you this. God's will is the same for every person. You know what His will is? That you believe on Jesus and get saved. That you read His Word and obey His commandments. And that you live for Him and witness to others. That's what His will is. But He's God, and He gives us every day the opportunity to come before Him. I like that story I heard a while back when a group of seminary students went to another country, and as they were going through this seminary, one student went into a room that was a room of one of the students there, and he noticed in the carpet two places. And there was two indents in the carpet, about so deep. And he got to looking, and the young man said, "There was such a power in that room." He said, "When I walked in there, you could feel that somebody prayed in there all the time." And when all the seminary students got on the bus to leave, one of the instructors discovered that a student was missing, and it was that one man who had felt the presence of the Lord in that room. And when they went back into the seminary, he went back to that room and found that student with his knees in the same two holes that had been pressed into that carpet. And when that student walked away that day, he found out that Billy Graham had been the one in that seminary who had prayed upon his knees every day. And if you know the life and the witness of Billy Graham, he served the Lord. He preached salvation and he lived his life for God. And it's because of who God was. God is our Jehovah. He is our provider. His grace is sufficient for us. We should not be afraid to live for Him. We should not be afraid to praise Him before others. If God has done so much for us, then we ought to do everything for Him. If He's our provider, then we should trust Him to provide. We should trust Him to lead us. And as a church body, every single one of us ought to come together in agreement Now, I've heard this before. Everybody says, well, you don't believe the way I do. Well, you know what? If we all serve the same God, we better be believing the same way. And we better believe in that Word. And we all better be of the same mind and the same heart. Because you know what? If we're not going to grow. My message has always been about salvation and growth and life change and serving God, because I think we need that definitely on a weekly basis. When we go throughout our whole week and we feel like we've been depleted, we can get before our God, Jehovah, the great I Am, and we can praise Him and sing to Him and seek His face. And when we seek His face, He will pour Himself out upon us. He will raise us up in strength. And He will lead and guide our lives. That's what's so incredible about my God. He is our Creator. He created us in His likeness. Verse 3 said, it is He who has made us. He created us in His likeness. That means He loves you so much that He created you in His image. He crafted you. He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Ain't that neat, Milton Daniels? That's great. He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. And He knew Eugene and Bob before they were formed in their mother's. He knew your life. He is our Creator. He's our Shepherd, our Provider, our Protector. He is the one that always walks with us. Somebody asked me one time, why does God leave us feeling all alone? And I said, well, it's not us, or it's not God that walked away from us. I said, it's because we have turned away from the Lord. That's why we feel alone. His Word is so full of power. He is a merciful God. He is a truthful God. And most of all, He's a loving God. He wants us to have good things. The Lord wants to bless our lives. But God can't move within us if we're not living for Him. When I think about Jehoshaphat was about to go into battle, and Jehoshaphat had a mighty army, and God trimmed this army way down to just a few hundred. They were getting ready to go up an army of thousands of trained warriors. And Jehoshaphat, he never lost faith in God, but there were so many men that fell to fear, and they just quickly fell by the wayside. But God told Jehoshaphat this when they were going to battle. God said to Jehoshaphat, I want you to sing and I want you to praise me. I want you to sing to me and praise me. And why was that? Because when Jehoshaphat and his little army sang and praised God as they were headed into battle, they were doing it because they knew God had gone before them, and they knew that God would take care of the battle that they were facing. When they got to the battle site, God had already wiped out that entire army of thousands of men, and they greatly even rejoiced more. And I say that to you today because of this. Every single one of us will face a battle in life. We don't know what it's going to be. But instead of hanging your head in sorrow and shame and being negative, lift your head, lift your heart before God, and in the midst of your battle, as you're going along, do what Jehoshaphat did. Sing and praise God and trust Him. And as you go through the battle, your heart and your mind will be lifted and you will not focus on the hard times that you're going through, but you'll focus on the one who's leading you through the hard time. And when you get to the end of that battle, you're going to see God's hand of victory at work in your life, and you're going to see the enemy before you, that problem, defeated. But you have to trust God. You have to walk with Him. You have to be faithful. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you don't have faith, He won't work in your life. If our church body doesn't have faith, He won't work within it. I used to have a couple people at a church I was at used to come to me all the time and said, boy, we don't have the money that we used to have. Oh, it's just terrible. You got to do something, Brother Jim. You're going to have to get some people in here, and we got to get people in here that tithe. And I said, what are you so worried about? Why is your focus on money? Well, we got to have money to keep going. No, you got to get your eyes on God and trust Him to keep going. It doesn't matter what a situation looks like to us. It determines how God sees it. And God sees everything as a victory because He is good. He is faithful. He will provide for every need. And I told people before, get your eyes off the money. Get your eyes off of what it looks like to you. Put your faith in God and trust Him, and He will lead the church where it needs to be. But you know what He needs? He needs a good, faithful few. I've probably told you this before, and if I have, well, I'll just tell it again. There's a little church over by Harrisburg, Illinois. Had 5 or 6 people in it. And my friends, Ron and Amy Moore, live in that church now. It's their house. And I got the chance quite a few years ago to go into there. And boy, I felt power because they serve the Lord. Ron and Amy do. They're faithful. And they're living in the church where it all happened. But 5 or 6 people, and somebody come along and said, I'm going to go somewhere else. This church ain't never going to grow. Look at us. Only got 6 people. We ain't never going to make it. Well, those 6 people banded together and trusted the Lord. And they served God and they prayed. And they didn't get negative about anything. And they asked God to let that church grow. And it did. And it grew so much, they quickly outgrew the sanctuary. They had a building program and built on. And God provided what they needed money-wise to pay off the addition. And they quickly outgrew that. And they went to 2 services. And they started to outgrow 2 services. So they said, well, we're going to have to build a bigger building. And they built this humongous church on Highway 34 outside of Harrisburg, in between Harrisburg and Raleigh. And that church today is still growing and still full, all because 6 people trusted in God and had faith in Him. See, when you praise God, things can happen. Yes, there are people living in sin today. Sin is rampant in our churches, and people are saying, well, we have God's grace. It's okay. He'll forget. That's not how we live. Things are happening. Churches, yes, they're going wayward, but we have got to stay the course, and we have got to walk together, serve together, pray together, fellowship together, sing together. Because when you decide, I've had enough of walking the fence, I've had enough of living in defeat, I'm ready to take up my cross and follow Jesus. When you do that, God's going to start to move in your life, and He's going to open doors of what He wants done in your life. You know what? We need to be praying for these churches that are teaching wrong right now and doing wrong things. We need to pray for them. And if we pray for them, we will see God start to move. And when we pray and when we praise God, we do it with a faithful heart. God will hear our prayers and He will start to turn things around, like I said, in His timing.